This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Four teams remain in the NFL playoffs, and that means only four teams left for you to bet on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Counting down to Super Bowl 56, new customers can get 56-1 odds on any team. Bet just $5 and win $280 in free bets if your team wins. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps and get 56-1 odds on any NFL team. Bet just $5 and win $280 in free bets if your team wins. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps for 56-1 odds at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 years or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
Watch another Pruitt game. If we go 6-6, I'm not watching another game until we get a new coach.
A man has to have a code, and I respect it. The 6-1 seems a little aggressive.
If we win four or fewer, I will end my life. If we win fewer than four, I'll take everyone with me as well. So everyone in this room and me.
On 1340 WKGN.
So hopefully we don't win three. You guys better hope we do better than 3-9, or we're all in trouble then.
Hour three kicking off in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Hit us with some hour three headlines, Cam.
All right. Some NCAA football news. Auburn has promoted their linebacker coach. I don't know how to say this guy's last name. It's like Schmeding or something. Schmeding? Whoever their linebacker coach is, he's been promoted to defensive. Jeff Schmeding? Schmeding? I don't know. He's been promoted to defensive coordinator after Derek Mason has stepped down to pursue other opportunities, which we kind of mentioned last week. He's headed to Oklahoma State, it seems like. So Auburn basically just promoting from within, keeping it in the house, promoting their linebackers coach. Georgia had a receiver, Jermaine Burton, hit the transfer portal right after, you know, national championship, everything like that.
Yeah.
He is actually headed to Alabama. He just jumped from one team to the other, it seems like. He had 497 yards on the team this past year, second in receiving. Was a top 100 guy coming out of the high school. And, yeah, he is now going to Alabama, helping them keep that wide receiver room full. Another transfer, Oregon running back Travis Dye has transferred to USC. Lincoln Riley getting some more players in there. And Timmy Chang has been hired as the next head football coach of Hawaii.
Timmy Chang, who is that? Is he a former player there? Why does that name sound familiar?
Used to play there.
I know they tried to bring back Jones, right?
He used to play at Hawaii.
Okay, yeah. I know they tried to hire June Jones back, and then they couldn't make the money work. So he's just like, never mind, I'm not coming back.
Yeah, I think he was coaching receivers or something at Colorado State, but. Yeah, he is a former Hawaii quarterback that put up big numbers.
He's
their
former star quarterback.
Was he after Colt Brennan?
That's a good question.
No, he was 2000 to 2004, where he set the all-time passing and total offense records before those were then broken.
Okay. He's second in NCAA career
Colt
passing
Brennan
list
was like
behind
2006, 2007.
Yeah. So, okay. Yeah. He's second on the NCAA passing list behind Case Keenum.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Now I get the chance, coach. Thing. We're dealing with the StubHub era is going to be put to the test on Sunday. Have you seen, you have Melissa Whitworth, the wife of, star left tackle, old man, Andrew Whitworth.
Yep.
Who has gone to openly pleading with Rams fans on the internet. You had... Miss Stafford doing the same thing a couple weeks ago about, them having to use a silent count in week 18 because of how loud the 49ers fans were. Well, now they got a chance to take over SoFi in an NFC Championship game. But Miss Whitworth has gone to the internet to say, Rams fans, if you want to sell your tickets, I'll buy them. Just do not sell them to the other team, please. Basically like, hey, we got the money. We will buy all your stupid tickets. We'll find a good use for them. Just don't sell them to 49ers fans. To which now Joe Staley and Frank Gore are offering to buy up tickets for 49ers fans, so we'll see. Go ahead.
The Rams have also introduced a policy similar to what the Preds have done in the playoffs, where you have to be a resident of the LA or greater LA area to be eligible to buy tickets.
Yeah, but I mean, that's just off of Ticketmaster initially.
Yeah, but those are like where the tickets are initially released. So I mean, it just makes it harder.
I mean, a lot of places have that. I mean, like
Debo's been pissed apparently.
Well, a lot of places have those options, but then you know, you can still list them on StubHub.
Yeah,
you can still like sell them yourself. Like the what would be happening is Rams fans would be buying them to sell, you know, basically to pay for next year's tickets.
Yeah.
If you sell, and that was like what, you know, some ticket brokers in LA said was like, look, I know the Rams are, you know, growing a fan base.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't have a loyal enough fan base right now to be paying, you know, upwards of $600-$700 for upper level nosebleeds.
Yeah.
AKA 49ers fans do. Like, it's going to be another sea of red. They're bracing for a sea of red as the 49ers look to come to finish the sweep.
Yeah, wouldn't surprise me at all. They are very confident about going and playing the Rams.
Do you think we'll have the talking point of it being tough to beat a team three times in
one
season this week?
I guarantee you every NFL show is going to mention that.
Didn't you tell me like 3 weeks ago that it's actually statistically teams that are already 2-0
win 66% of the times. Mm-hmm. It goes up to 70% if that third team's at home. Granted, the 49ers aren't going to be at home, but they're going to kind of be at home because they're going to have more fans. So I don't know. It does seem like a scenario where the Rams are better than the 49ers, I think. Have the better quarterback.
Yeah.
Look like they have a better team, but the 49ers definitely have the mental advantage, and they ain't scared of the Rams.
Yeah, I'm really intrigued for that game, see if they can keep it up. And
do we want can Jimmy G go to another Super Bowl?
Well, my whole thing was like, I thought he was going to lose that game, look terrible, and then, you know, you're going to have him moving in the offseason for sure.
Well, they lost, or they won, but he did look terrible.
Yeah, he did.
He did look awful.
But is it as easy to just move on if he gets you to another Super Bowl and you're just like, this guy's done it twice? Like what do we do?
He's close.
Man, they got to be kicking themselves after trading all those picks for Lance. You know, he could have just beefed this team up a little bit more and been rocking and rolling, but...
But yep, you got a the Rams are going to try to like have some type of home field advantage, although they're worried about it. I bet they would have had a home field advantage in St. Louis. Have they not ever left?
Yeah.
I find myself again rooting for the Rams. I just love their philosophy. I just love that they just don't care about first round picks, and they're always just like, give us the good players, like. I know it kind of got overshadowed because of the way the game ended, but there was a time when, like, Von Miller was, like, you know, wrecking that offensive line and stripping Brady that should have ended the game. You know, it's a 14-point game. He gets the strip sack and the recovery.
Yep.
That should have set them up for, you know, a field goal to win. Go up by three scores, and it would have been, you know, not enough time. Instead, they missed it.
I wish we would adopt that strategy, honestly.
Right. I mean, I think – I wish every team would. So, like, I want the Rams to have the ultimate payoff. I know they've already made one Super Bowl. I know they've been good, but, like – I want them to be rewarded for being aggressive, just for saying we're always looking to get good players on our team, and we're going to try to find a way to make it work. They've already won the Odell Beckham trade. Or transaction, I guess. It wasn't a trade. He got released. But, man, if you're the Browns, it's going
to
hurt.
Great addition. Yeah, just to see him out there just cooking.
You cooked him. You cut him because Baker Mayfield just couldn't make easy throws.
Did you see the Darren Rovell tweet about –
No, I'm blocked. He blocked me on Twitter a long time ago.
I'm only blocked by like two people. It's just like Derrick Henry and someone else.
Derrick Henry blocked you?
Yeah.
That's gotta hurt.
It was when he was before his rookie season in like training camp. He blocked me. Yeah, what'd Darren Rovell.
Say we shouldn't have wasted a second round pick on him.
There's like a PSL holders thing where like the Titans players after a practice signed autographs and like took pictures.
He wouldn't give you an autograph.
And me and my buddy took a picture with him, and he just looked super unhappy and was like frowning. And 16-year-old me thought it would be funny to go tweet like a little four-box zoom in of something that used to be a thing on Twitter, zooming on his face. Yeah. It was like when you realize you have to take a pay cut to play in the NFL.
Mm.
And he blocked me within 15 seconds. So that happened. But, Darren Rovell tweeted about how OBJ took his salary this year in crypto, and it was $750,000 and after the drop. Plus the taxes he has to pay on the initial amount, not what it's currently worth. He's going to make roughly $35,000 this year.
Yeah, the Bitcoin took a hit if he's in Bitcoin. Bitcoin is down
this?
Right now.
OBJ took his salary for the Rams strictly in Bitcoin.
What about his bonuses too? Like, because he got a $750,000 bonus for winning, so surely like he.
Hopefully not.
So maybe now it's 60 or 70,000.
Yeah.
Bitcoin's going back up a little bit today though, so maybe he has some hope that his contract gets saved. But yeah, it's down a ton. So it's down like 20,000. So
it is bounced back a little bit though.
Yeah.
From when I was looking at earlier, actually. It's
It was down a bunch this morning. 36,000. Yeah. It's good for him and good for me.
It's not too late to buy in some, Charlie.
Yeah.
Buy the dips.
Buy the dip. You could have bought the dip. You'd be up 3% right now.
If crypto's above my brain, I just don't even worry about it.
Yeah, you just make some money off and get off it.
I lost money.
The Broncos have their three finalists for head coach.
Okay.
We got Dan Quinn.
Okay.
Kevin O'Connell.
Who the hell is Kevin
O'Connell? I don't remember where he's at. I think he's off as a coordinator somewhere. I'm not sure where. Evan Packer's off
he's
as
the
offensive
coordinator for the Rams and a former Patriots quarterback.
Okay.
And then you have Nathaniel Hackett, the Packers offensive coordinator.
The only person worse than the Packers offensive coordinator you could hire right now is the Packers special teams coach.
Yeah.
We talked about how terrible their special teams were.
Yeah, we did.
It cost them the season.
It cost them 10 points at least.
Yep.
You know,
and
just,
they lost by three.
Yep.
You said that was the Broncos finalist?
Yes.
Oh, that's just.
So no Gerard Mayo.
They're probably not going to make a good hire then.
No, Mayo's over there going to interview with the Raiders today.
Okay. I don't think he's going to get a job. I think the Raiders are still hiring Harbaugh.
They said he's impressed so far in his interviews, but I think there's so many coaches that are still, like, in the playoffs that people are trying to wait on, but I think it's going to make it weird for guys like him that are, you know, already going to have rocked out a couple interviews.
Hey, guess where Kevin O'Connell's from?
Tennessee.
Knoxville.
Really?
Yeah. That's a weird one.
Okay.
Who knew?
Yeah.
Love a Knoxville boy. Let's go. Let's get a chance. Do him a favor, Peyton.
Make the call.
Let's go to break. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Of the four teams who lost in the divisional round this weekend, I think we all know the brightest future, you would say Buffalo, right? Like Buffalo has the brightest future.
Yes.
They got Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Who's in the worst situation between the Titans, Packers, and Bucks? Because I think all three of them have some question marks, either about their quarterback or their overall roster, their head coaches. If I'm a Bucks fan, I don't know how I feel about Bruce Arians moving forward if Brady leaves.
Like, I'm about to say, I think the Bucks are in the worst situation if Brady is actually like going to retire and
so only
out.
If he retires?
Yeah, because I think you still got to give him the benefit of the doubt of, like, you still got Brady. Maybe you can pull some magic this year. And at least, like, bump him ahead of, like the Packers technically have a quarterback. But, you know.
But I feel like that's almost even worse that they technically have a guy that they're going to look at. Like, if I'm the Bucks, I'd rather take a chance on signing or going after, like, Jimmy Garoppolo rather than, like, having to feel pressured into starting Jordan Love if Aaron Rodgers leaves. The Titans have Ryan Tannehill, but no contingency plan either. They have no backup. Yeah. Logan Woodside's never going to be a starting quarterback in the league.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the Bills and the best by far. I would say the Bucks and Packers situations are worse, if not substantially worse, than the Titans. Mm-hmm. Like, the Titans aren't in a good situation, nor are they in a bad situation moving forward, because they still are going to have a really talented roster and have already proven that they can at least be a successful regular season team.
Which is dangerous.
Whereas the Packers are, you know, not going to have a quarterback.
But what if they do? Because I think you're operating under the assumption that both quarterbacks leave when you say that. But what if Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady is back with the team? Do you still feel like
they're worse off than
the Titans?
Then they're in a better situation next year, but still, you know, in a 5-year window and a 10-year window, the Titans still probably in a better situation maybe. I don't know. I mean, the Buccaneers apparently have had, according to Levante David, had a lot of issues down the stretch with turmoil with inside the locker room. You know, there are questions about Bruce Arians. There are questions about that roster moving forward and about Tom Brady. So, you know, if the roster around the quarterback, I think, is best in Tennessee. and the quarterback is the worst in Tennessee, obviously. So
the Bucs are dealing really with a bunch of free agents. A lot of that old core is going to be, you know, either walking away or getting, you know, told to go elsewhere.
Packers as well, with at least, like, you know, Rodgers and Adams being guys that you.
The Bucs have 24 players set to become free agents, including a couple guys of their main core. Brady has to make a decision. Pierre Paul, Fournette, Rob Gronkowski, Ryan Jensen. Levante David, you know, was basically brought back, you know, just like as a thank you for winning the Super Bowl. And, like, you know, their thoughts last year, they might move on. I don't know, you know, what they're going to do if they're older. You know, players are getting older on that defensive line. Defense definitely didn't seem like it was last year when they won the Super Bowl, obviously.
Yeah, it was not that effective.
All of a sudden, the offense didn't look very good either.
Yeah, I thought they would have some issues when they said Wirfs was going to be out.
When Wirfs was announced out on Sunday, I was very, very confident the Rams were going to win that game.
Absolutely, same as well. So
that was my favorite bet of the weekend anyways, just with him banged up. But once he was out, even with Wentworth being out on the other side, loss was just so much bigger. And you saw they couldn't protect Brady. And we've seen, you know, for as great as Tom Brady is, and no one doubts his greatness. I mean, well, I'll take that back. Some people do doubt his greatness. We don't doubt his greatness, but even the people who love Tom Brady and call him the GOAT will all acknowledge you got to protect him. He has to have time.
Absolutely.
And whenever, you know, his all-pro tackle was out, you knew he was going to struggle to have time against Donald and Floyd and Von Miller, and that's exactly how it played out.
Right tackle got hurt too, right, in that game, I think.
Oh, I think they may have had somebody leave, yeah.
I don't know. I only watched like a quarter and a half, but
I just don't know if we can say they have the worst scenario if they have Brady, because we've seen Brady basically will every team he's ever been on in the playoffs. I mean, like, he's missed the playoffs once.
Yeah, if they have Brady, I think they're all right. If he's gone, I think Arians would be gone too, and I think you're basically just trying to rebuild and basically blowing it all up.
Brady missed the playoffs twice with the Patriots, but the one year was when he blew his knee out. They went 11-5, but other than that, he made the playoffs in every year but one that he actually played in.
Man, what a turn of events in 2 years that the NFC South could be Sam Darnold, Jameis Winston, and whoever in the world's in Tampa.
Kyle Trask, baby.
Kyle Trask.
Well, I mean, I wonder if that plays into Green Bay's equation too, because like their division's still like in a similar situation. The Lions, I know they showed some spunk, but they're still building. The Bears, still building. The Vikings are just kind of stuck in the middle where they're not really building, but they're also getting older and not really, like, getting better.
They're stuck in that limbo. They're honestly in that dangerous limbo of it. I think, like, y'all should be worried about with, like, the Titans. Like, I don't think y'all be as that big of a swing up and down, like, how inconsistent they are. But it's, like, those things where you have talent, and then you're like, okay, we're not, like, bad enough that we want to blow this up. But I don't know if we're taking that next step yet.
Yeah, and, you know, in the NFL, you are incentivized a lot for losing. It is a little bit easier to rebuild in the NFL, or at least to swallow a rebuild in the NFL, because unlike the NBA, you don't really have to, like, gut your roster and start, you know, just losing for two seasons and then have those rookies develop. In the NFL, good rookies are able to be on good teams. In the NBA, like, good rookies are usually drafted to bad teams, and you build around them for a couple years. Not to mention, you know, just the draft picks are more valuable, but also, like, the schedule, they incentivize you. Like, you get a last-place schedule against other terrible teams. Like, I mean, the Titans are going to have a really tough schedule next year.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
I do look at it as, like, still a way. Like, I do think, to me, the Titans will be looking at 10-7 at worst. Probably that's good enough to win the division.
Yeah, the schedule is not fun.
That's what happens when you finish in first place. You gotta play tough schedules. But, yeah, I mean, like, I get the fear of limbo.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I would rather go 10-7 and lose in the first round of playoffs than just be like 7-10, 6-11, 3-14. Just because, like, when you go 3-14, there's no guarantee that you actually find the right quarterback.
Yeah,
like,
that's fair.
First round picks basically hit at a 50% clip. Now, can you fix like some salary cap stuff? Sure, but like the Titans aren't in like salary cap hell or anything. They just got, you know, some really good young players that you hope you're able to keep kind of putting pieces around. So I'm not necessarily worried about that. Like becoming the Vikings, who just, you know, still don't even like make the playoffs or anything. But I do wonder if that plays into Green Bay's decision making when they're looking around like, hey, we can, you know, keep Rodgers, probably win this division, probably win 12 games again, or we can maybe even like go with Jordan Love and invest in the defense with these first-round picks we might get for Rodgers, if we get any. And like the defense might be able to carry us to like 9-8, which still might be good enough to win the NFC North. Because like again, we're playing the Lions, Bears, and then the Vikings, who are losers.
Yep.
Tom Brady, kind of the same thing. Like running it back one more year. Am I really worried about the Saints with no quarterback? Now if they get Russell Wilson, that math changes.
Absolutely.
Am I really worried about the Falcons right now when it seems like they were probably three games worse than they really should have been by winning, you know, seven? They won seven games, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they look more like a five-win team. So I guess, like, you know, with one more season, we can try to win this division again and run it back. But, man, if I'm every team in the NFL, I'm just kind of looking at last night's Chiefs and Bills game and, like, our offense doesn't look like that.
Like, yeah, like we're in danger.
we don't look like that. That's like watching, like, whenever the Warriors were, like, hitting their stride and the way they're moving the ball, and then they get Kevin Durant. Like, yeah, we can't really do that. We're going to take a couple years off.
That did make me feel so much worse about my team, like, ever. It was just like, I've not seen my team do anything similar to that in years. So
there was a part of me that's like, you know what? I think losing to the Bengals and being frustrated about that was terrible, but it might have been worse to, like, trick myself all weekend to thinking we could have a chance against this offense and then have Mahomes come in and score 40 on us.
Yeah.
And everyone be like, see, told you. That might actually have hurt me worse.
Yeah.
Do I want to make the AFC Championship? Yes, of course. Do I think we might have could have done better against that offense? Yes, of course. But there was a part of me that was like, I don't really want to build that up and have, like, the whole country watching and then, like, because the Titans are almost in a sweet spot where they blew it in game one of the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
People aren't really even, like, worried about it because, like, the other three games were much more, like, interesting of, like, storylines. Like, Packers.
And yours was, like, the first one, so it got, like, really, like, buried a little bit.
Right, and we don't have any stars. Like, who wants to argue about Ryan Tannehill's future? Like, if you can go out and get Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson, cool. If not, like, he'll win you 10 games, and, you know, you probably aren't going to be taken seriously.
Mm-hmm.
I will say I hope that, like, Titans fans stop crying about national respect next year because you're not ever getting at that anymore. Like, you're never getting any respect moving forward. As long as Ryan Tannehill is your quarterback. Like, it's going to be a, but it's going to have to wait every year in the playoffs, prove it in the playoffs. And, like, the regular season is going to be pretty meaningless from that perspective when it comes to the Titans. They could be 13-0 next year. And everyone's still going to say, but worst one seed ever. We thought you were last year. It's actually this year when you're 17-0. Sorry. Tannehill's going to choke again. And that's just going to be the conversation until he doesn't. If there's ever a time where he doesn't.
There will be.
I hope you're right, Charlie. I hope you're right, but I don't know if I'll care as much, like I said, because I'm now a casual sports fan.
Yeah, well, I'll hit you up in like 3 weeks, and I'll ask you the same thing.
Oh, in 3 weeks, it's going to be even worse. I'm going to be so disconnected. The Hawks are going to be like, you know, four games above 500. Playing
in 3 weeks,
good basketball.
The Vols are going to be riding an 8-game win streak, hosting a home game against Kentucky, probably ranked somewhere between 9 and 12.
Yeah. And I'll be like, we're definitely will feel vindicated when we don't win the SEC tournament and we get knocked out in the first or second round because that's just what my teams do. That'll be a bad time to ask me because I'm going to be really doom and gloom then.
Man. We got to
– No.
You got to find a way.
Read the Twitter bio. Casual sports fan now.
Oh, you think I'm just always reading your Twitter bio?
I'm letting you know. That's my new I've put it out in the universe, and that's just the way it is. I'm a casual sports fan. Casual sports fan. That's it. It's been beaten out of me.
How easily your spirit has been broken.
Yeah, who knew that you were so weak?
I'm not weak. Some say the real strength is in walking away.
Yeah, well, the people that say that are words that I'm not going to say on the radio.
I mean, Cam, I've been trying to have an intervention with you, and I can't be a hypocrite. I have to look myself in the mirror and have the same talk with me.
Fair enough.
We got the same talk with me. It's just not going
to
happen.
This is when we got to come back even stronger. We got to take our love and fandom to the next level.
Not me. Not me at all.
You can't lose your passion, John. You can't lose your sparkle.
I will find a new sparkle.
Sparkle.
I'm going to become educated in other things.
What's the point, though?
Spend more time and money on things that will enrich my life.
Like what?
Anything.
Give me one example.
Just going to more movies. I'm going to go to more movies. I'm going to go to more plays. I'm going to go to more concerts.
I do like plays.
You know what you don't? You know where you don't walk out in a bad mood and sad? Concerts. Because you're always like, you know, that was a pretty good show. They played the songs I like. And every now and then there might be one song you don't hear.
But none of those things can bring you the same joy
that
winning
true.
Does.
A fun-ass concert is a good time.
You are settling.
You can't get 100%, but you can get like 85 to 90% of your happiness.
You have basically just said that I've given up on suffering. So I am going to choose the route that is lower ceiling for joy, higher floor for not pain.
Precisely, yes.
Ah, that's weak. That's disappointing.
I think everyone does that in their life.
I never will. Call me 20 years from now, and I'll probably still be questioning my life after another Titans playoff loss.
Well, Charlie, I hope 20 years from now I call you and you're married to like an eight that you decided was going to treat you right, good personality, you can see you're raising a family with. I hope that you have settled down with a nice eight, a sweet lady, rather than still being out here chasing a 10 that's just going to break your heart, lead you on, tease you, give you a little hope.
Yeah, but like,
I hope
for me,
you realize,
like,
you know what? I'm going to take the.
An eight is the. Marrying an eight is like the equivalent of the Titans winning a Super Bowl, though. So.
Well, I hope you found you.
Oh, God.
I hope you have accepted just a nice 6.5 and she's treating you good.
I don't accept the 6.5. I won't.
Then I hope you're not alone out here chasing.
But you said the eight's a Super Bowl, so what, you got like a 1.5 little window in there, but you're shooting for a sweet spot?
You're just gonna
an
like,
8, a 9, and a 10 is just all a Super Bowl. A 7 is maybe still a Super Bowl, but a 6 is an AFC championship, and I don't want it.
Okay. So what's a 4? Is that just making playoffs?
A 4 is like, oh, man.
That's like, the purgatory of like 6 wins.
A four is like
by myself taking chances in the draft.
A 4 is like, oh, no, we have MVP quarterback Mitch Trubisky, and we lost in the first round.
We will play some winners and losers of the weekend after the break. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. All right, let's play some winners and losers of the weekend. Charlie, hit the music.
Winners and losers. Winners and losers. Winners and losers. Winners and losers.
All right, Cam, who do you think won this weekend?
All right, my number 3 winner of the weekend, I gave it to Cardi B.
What the hell did she do this weekend?
She is paying for the funerals of 17 people that died in the apartment fire in her hometown of, like, the Bronx area.
Okay,
so she is paying for their funeral costs of those victims. So, out there doing a good deed. So, shout out to her. Makes her a winner.
Okay.
My number 2 winner of the weekend, I gave it to young AFC quarterbacks, basically. Just looking great, looking like the future, looking like they're poised for big things. They just looked awesome and looked great. Looks like there's a great future in the AFC as far as quarterback-wise. They look set up for a long time out that way. They won this weekend. And my number 1 winner of the weekend, I gave it to NFL fans just because there was just some awesome football on this weekend. It was a great, great slate of games, stuff like that. Super fun, had a little bit of everything. So I think NFL fans probably found something at some point in this past weekend that they enjoyed, making them my number 1 winner of the weekend. Sean, who do you have winning?
Yeah, it's hard to find other winners than like in the landscape of the NFL. I did find one for number 3, though. I did give it to Francis Ngannou.
Okay.
Hell you say his name. Big Francis. Predator, who wins by decision, which is very surprising because he's usually a guy who just knockout power, but also like he's dealing with the UFC contract dispute that, he says now that he won, he is done and will not fight again for the rest of 2022, running the clock out on his contract, and then it looks to want to fight Tyson Fury in a boxing match and make a lot of money. He is beefing with Dana White over his money situation. He was going up against his former coach and his former grappling partner, and won a 5-round decision, improving to 17-3. I believe I saw that you could get him as high as 50-1 to win by decision.
Really?
On some
Bet it was, because I know him to win just by, like, knockout was, like, I think plus 145, 150, somewhere there at one point.
Yeah, I mean, he was the guy who was either going to knock him out or lose. And you didn't think with all the contract stuff surrounding him that he would win a decision. You didn't think that, like, him being as big would be able to go 5 rounds with a guy who he has never really shown, like, his wrestling ability either. So it's usually, like, knockout, finish the fight, or lose. Number 2, I went with a trio of quarterbacks. I didn't go with the AFC young quarterbacks. I did go with just the 3 I thought best quarterbacks this weekend, which was Patrick Mahomes kind of cementing his status as the current greatest of right now, the Gorn, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Allen, I think, was even better than the greatest of right now. I think Josh Allen's actually greater than Mahomes.
He looked good.
And then Matthew Stafford, I think, deserves to get mentioned just because Matthew Stafford, needed that win badly. And he knocks down Tom Brady. The clutchest quarterback of all time loses to a guy that, you know, people were doubting could win the big one. And he won the big one. Yeah, he had some Detroit Lions things go his way or go against him, but he came up with an absolute dime.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the best pass of the weekend. It was either that or Josh Allen's bomb to Gabriel Davis on that 75-yard pass. But Stafford's dropping again right there to Cooper Kupp, 50 yards down the field, is also pretty stout. Mm-hmm. And number one, you went with NFL fans. I went with just the NFL, the Shield.
The Shield.
The Shield wins. Best round of playoffs maybe in NFL history. We'll see how big the TV numbers are. I would imagine that Bills-Chiefs game is going to be the most watched game of the year, I would think.
Yeah.
I would think that'd do more than the $40 million. I guess it'd be even a $50 million with the Nickelodeon simulcast for Cowboys 49ers. But you know, maybe Josh Allen and Mahomes beat that.
Yeah.
Plus, the 6:30 start time was perfect.
It really was.
And
it was
that
nice.
Game at 10 o'clock was so nice.
Yeah, it was nice. I did like that.
Yeah. Any other time it'd be over like at midnight, we'd all be groggy. But everyone's like, you know what? We got time to dissect this.
Even as a night person, I was like, this is cool. It's only 10? Like, I was like, this is nice.
To watch a movie.
Yeah, exactly.
Watch the new season of Ozark.
There you go.
Good start.
I'm only through two episodes.
Through like three. Good start.
Okay.
I like it.
Give me your losers of the weekend.
All right. My number three loser of the weekend. I gave it to Eli Apple. He may have won with the Cincinnati Bengals, but I don't know if you saw him on Twitter the past day or so. He basically was like tweeting about how he hates the Saints and Giants fans, which I understand the hate for the Saints. Makes sense. Understandable there.
Giants pretty mean to him too.
Yep. But so he was basically tweeting about like, oh, I don't know which fan base I hate more. I think I lean Saints, yada, yada, yada. But so he's basically just been getting bombarded by Saints and Giants fans since then with just clips of him getting just toasted in you know, either jersey there and just all the bad things he's had in his career before, you know, he went to the Bengals. And they're just roasting the mess out of him right now on Twitter. He's getting a lot of backlash. People are talking about like, wow, he's talking all this trash right before he has to go up against Tyreek Hill. Like, good plan. But Eli Apple is getting blasted on Twitter. So, sucks for him. But only that checks out. What else can you expect from Saints fans? My number two loser of the weekend, I gave it to one seeds. For obvious reasons, there's no more one seeds remaining. Bye week didn't help those two. It didn't help those two. Not great. We all know what happened there. And then my number one loser of the weekend, I gave it to the Bills defense. The Bills defense. Embarrassing. Just
beat the Bengals.
Beat the Bengals.
That's it. Just beat the Bengals. If you lose the next round to the Chiefs, no one would even be like the national people wouldn't even be calling you fraud. They'd just be like, it's the Chiefs team. What do you expect? If you lose to the Bengals, it just puts everything into just such a bad feeling for everybody in the world except Charlie, who's still positive somehow. Never lose that sparkle, Charlie.
I mean, I guess I'm positive. Like, I also didn't want to wake up this morning, but I did, so I guess you might as well find a way to be positive about it if you're here. You're not going anywhere, so.
I woke up Sunday morning at 2:30 and just laid there from 2:30 to 4:30 listening to an audiobook about the Holocaust, thinking about life and where I've gone wrong.
Yep.
For some reason, my friend's drunk passing out movies to put on like a YouTube video about geography.
Really?
So he's listening to geography. He's like, both just kind of passed out on the couch. I was going to sleep.
Did you learn anything?
Osmosis, yeah, a little bit, but it infiltrated my dreams because after the geography episode was over, then it went to like an audio book that was like 3 hours long about the Holocaust. And
what a transition.
I woke up at 2:30 hearing it. I couldn't go back to sleep, so I just laid there for 2 hours listening to it in and out of consciousness. And I was contemplating a lot of things, life and...
I can't, that's so weird go-to drunk put on, just geography.
Just learning about stuff, yeah.
I always go stand-up comedy.
It's not a bad mood. I usually put scary movies on. Either scary movies or a comfort comedy that I'm used to.
There you go.
A bad Wedding Crash or something like that, or I'll put on a scary movie. Yeah. So that was your number one loser of the weekend?
Yeah. Bills defense was my number one loser of the weekend.
Right.
Let Josh Allen down the stretch there.
The thing was, they all played pretty good for 50-something
minutes. Yeah. Just that last
23 to 24 is not that high scoring of a game.
Nope, not at all. But yeah, those last few minutes couldn't hold it together, and 13 seconds. That's all I got to say. 13 seconds, boys.
My third biggest loser of the weekend, I give it to Hugh Hefner.
Okay.
Some stuff started dropping out about the upcoming docuseries, a 10-part documentary series on A&E that's supposed to start, I believe, this week. And some leaks were coming out. And basically, Hugh's getting ready to get put into a real under a real microscope where, like, the lovable playboy is going to get, I don't want to call it the R. Kelly treatment. But, like, when you have, like, his former girlfriend's talking about the cult-like mentality in the house where they couldn't leave and had 9 p.m. curfews and all this stuff, it's going it's going to, you know, there's some stuff about him being really into just certain, like, snuff films and bestiality. I feel like Hugh's going to get put under a microscope. His son's already trying to get out ahead of it, saying it's all lies and stuff, but Hugh's my third biggest loser of the weekend. You had a question, Charlie? No?
I didn't hear the name the first time around, so I was just trying to figure out who this person was that you were saying.
Hugh Hefner of Playboy.
Yeah. I don't know. Isn't he dead?
Like, he is.
Can't we just let dead people just be dead?
I think that's what his son was trying to get at. It does seem weird. Like, I don't...
Digging stuff up for no...
I mean, I don't know. Like, it's one thing if we can cancel him, but, like, Playboy's even talking about, like, that might have been the old Hugh, but, like, we have a new mentality now. It's like, I don't know if it's even going to hurt Playboy movies.
Yeah, I don't think it will.
I guess
people that want to buy Playboys will buy Playboys.
Although, I guess, I mean, at the same time, though, like, if you were a victim...
Yeah, you probably maybe want your story out there.
You'd also want your story out, but you would also, like, want people to quit celebrating Hugh Hefner. And then, like, let that, like, kind of hijack the memory of him.
Yeah.
I guess, so... I don't know. My second biggest loser of the weekend was Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah.
My boy. Believed in you.
You did.
I believed in you, Ryan.
Yep.
Just
remember.
Add him to the list of quarterbacks that can't get it done.
I remember.
There are very few that can. Just Jimmy G. And then superstars.
Jared Goff.
Just Jimmy G and superstars. I wish I was in the NFC. Titans would have won the NFC.
I wish I just liked bird watching and
it's not too late to
novel
get into
reading
hobbies.
Instead, yeah. Or maybe learn how to play an instrument.
That's my thing, is my hands don't work good enough to...
Yeah.
I got, like, arthritis.
I still can't learn to play the ukulele. I keep trying, and it's just not working.
I'm not wired that way. If I could learn an instrument, you'd probably never hear from me again. I'd just be playing my instrument all the time. Just never playing harmonica. I've cut my habit of chess. I had an unhealthy habit of chess, and I've successfully cut that out with the new year. I deleted the app, and I've just stayed away from it.
I have a guitar in my closet that I was going to learn to play that I didn't. You can borrow it.
Okay.
It's a new day.
Number one, biggest loser of the weekend was Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. Let him check some.
Throw Rogan, as they've been calling it. Throw Rogan. Be interested to see how much people, like, are lining up, how many teams are lining up to try to get his services.
Yeah.
He's still obviously elite, but.
Yeah, like you said, I don't know if
the winning is, I don't know.
There was an anonymous head coach that said that he just doesn't have the focus and the work ethic to win a championship.
I mean, something's there. He's not wired like Brady.
Was it McCarthy? He's the anonymous coach.
Either McCarthy or Matt LaFleur.
Yeah,
they met him in a Krispy Kreme just outside of Dallas-Fort Worth area. He's got sunglasses on with his usual daily dozen.
That's what he should do. That should be his move. Anybody we missed, Charlie? You weren't listening.
The winners, I listened to every word you said.
Well, do we miss anybody?
I guess from the college basketball world, maybe, but, like, no.
There was honorable mention, I guess, to Auburn for the first time being able
almost mentioned them.
To do that. But also, Ayoka Lee, we do want to give her a shout-out. Honorable mention to her. Scored 61 points.
Oh, I did see that.
In the NCAA.
Yes.
That's the most ever scored in a women's NCAA game.
Yeah, shout to her. She's on my list.
She broke Cindy Brown and Rachel Banham's.
Yeah, sub her over Cardi B.
61 for Ayoka Lee from Kansas State.
Shout out to her.
Last call on the other side.
Office Furniture Outfitters has the...
last call here on the program. Let's play some Pump the Brakes. Let's keep it moving. Hope you guys are having a good Monday. I'm still sad, but not that sad.
I'm doing good. Thanks for asking.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's play some Pump the Brakes. Let's keep it moving, Cam. You have a story for us?
Yeah. I got Winnipeg Woman.
Okay.
Pump your brakes!
I used to like trying to guess what these would be, but I don't really have anything about Winnipeg Woman. Either something with maple syrup or murder. Maple syrup or murder.
Kind of close, actually. Okay. At least on part of it. Winnipeg Woman declared dead by the Canadian Revenue Agency twice in 10 months, but she's alive. For some reason, the Canada Revenue Agency, twice in a period of 10 months, have declared this Winnipeg senior dead, even though she's alive and living in a personal care home.
So what's the story here? They just messed up?
I guess so. Like, her son basically first received a letter in March, basically addressed to the estate of the late Mary Giblot, or however you say her last name.
Yeah.
And they're always just like, hey, like, this is weird, this is wrong, and try to get it corrected. And he was like, he was concerned that it was more almost like identity theft or something like that. Because he's like, hey, I care for her every day, so I see her every day, so I know she's alive. I'm not, like, concerned from that aspect. But they received another letter asking him to repay money paid to his mother. Because, yeah, I guess they, I don't know what they're doing. I guess they're trying to, like, charge him or something for money she owed. And they're like, no, she's still alive, something like that. But they said it's taken hours on the phone just to get it kind of, like, rectified a little bit as far as just getting in touch. You know how governments are. It takes forever to get on the phone. So he's like, I'm basically, like, missing work and losing money, like, trying to sit on the phone arguing with these people. And, yeah, so the revenue agency basically was just like, we're not commenting on individual cases, but we regret errors, stuff like that. But it's an uphill battle.
I don't really understand what's going on. So
basically,
or what's happening?
Basically, they want them to pay back some money for, I guess,
the fact that she's alive? They wrote it off and thought she was dead.
I don't know. This is very confusing,
okay.
Actually. It got a lot more confusing because I thought it was going
to
be.
Okay, I'm going to move on then. I'm going to go to a music superstar in hot water.
Okay. Ooh, I wonder who it is.
Yep.
It's Adele.
Oh.
Adele has made a lot of people, a lot of her diehard fans mad.
Oh, no.
After she has announced that she is rescheduling her Vegas residency. Said that she was supposed to come do, I want to say, like a 10-weekend tour. A 10-weekend stop in Vegas with the new album,
mm-hmm.
And she has recently, posted a tearful video where she's saying it's just not ready. We can't do it just yet.
Mm-hmm.
It was supposed to begin on January 21st.
Okay.
Which, she announced it last week.
Yep.
Basically a couple of days before January 21st. But now fans are very upset because, a lot of people had, paid for tickets to come from, England.
Yeah.
And from all across the world to Vegas and had booked these trips and taken time off. And she, canceled the tour, a week before after they had spent a bunch of money on plane stuff and accommodations and tickets and everything. So she has made a bunch of people mad. A bunch of people mad.
Tisk.
People claiming they've spent up to $35,000 for all of their accommodations.
Mm.
Wow. Seems like a lot, but
I guess. Yeah, if you're spending $35K to go see Adele in Vegas, so like.
They're rolling in the
deep. Your fault.
Is it your fault? I mean, it is, but at the same time, some people just feel a really strong connection with people.
Yeah,
that's fair. I mean,
people feel a really, especially with the music she makes, it's probably gotten so many people out of like heartbreak and like giving them purpose to life again.
Or I guess if you're spending $35K to do that, you probably have $35K to lose, right?
You would think so. You would think so.
I guess you would hope so.
What if people are just like, I'm dying of cancer and
saving up for this?
And you delayed this tour 6 months.
Find a way.
I don't know. A lot of people couldn't get it. People are just mad about the timing. Again, it was just so last minute. Do you think Adele's feeling the pressure? Do you feel like she just doesn't think that last album was good enough? Just go out there and sing. Yeah. What do you mean? What do you mean the show wasn't ready, Adele? What do you got to do? It's not like you're got like a whole bunch of moves you got to like choreograph. You go up there, you belt out your notes, you sing. That's it.
She going like full on James Brown stage performance.
That's what I'm asking. You're not Usher. You're not Michael Jackson. Just go out there and sing. Bad last couple months for LeBron James and his team. Rich Paul with Adele. Now all this is happening. Bad. Bad couple of weeks. All right, Cam, that'll do it for us today. Charlie, appreciate you for sitting in with us. The Drive, Russell Smith, Bear, up next. Stay locked in on Fan Run Radio.